Brighton Festival 2017. All of the news, reviews, and what not to miss at Brighton Festival 2017. Radio Reverb, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival hour.
Here is one I went to see last night, and I know, Rebecca, you're still to go and see this, and a lot of people in Brighton are going to be very, very keen on this. Australian circus troupe Circa wowed audiences back in 2013 with their performance of Howl Like an Angel, which combined breathtaking acrobatics and physical theatre with choral music. They're back now, this time with a show called Depart, taking place at Woodvale Cemetery, and it's inspired by the legend of Orpheus and Eurydice in the underworld. Here is a little sample of what you can expect to hear. That is just a little example of some of the sounds that you can hear at Depart, which has taken place at Woodvale Cemetery. I went along last night on a stunningly gorgeous evening, and I was absolutely knocked out by it. Joining us is Alice Lee Holland. She's the resident director of the show. Alice, thank you very much for joining us on Radio Reverb.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And I have to say, congratulations on a stunning, stunning show. I mean, it was incredible.
Oh, I'm so glad that you enjoyed it. It's a show that's pretty epic, and we're really proud of it.
Yes, it would have been awkward if I hadn't liked it, wouldn't it?
When it would.
Just send you straight. I'll say, yeah, thanks. It was great. Bye.
I'd be passing my ticket over, saying, I've got a spare ticket for tonight, Alice. Do you want to take it with you? But no, I'm keeping that ticket.
Now, Depart takes the audience through a series of performances throughout the whole cemetery. Is acrobatics, is dance, is choral singing. What were the decision-making processes you went through when you first landed at the location?
Oh, my gosh. There's about 8,000 decisions that actually they just hang in the air for a really long time. I spent about a week on the ground here in Brighton a number of months ago, and we've done a number of site visits just to kind of look at the site, and there's a lot that the site tells us. There's a lot that we respond to. Where are the open spaces? Where will the audience fit, kind of logistics, mm-hmm. but then also kind of the beauty of the site and where the most magical kind of spots are and how they will host the very different parts of the show that then we put together to create that overarching experience.
Because the audience move around in different groups, and when I was there, they split off into maybe two or three different groups. And it wasn't like you were deliberately led that way. It kind of happened organically, if you like. You can see things happening all around you, wherever you look. So sometimes there's somebody hanging up in the trees doing some acrobatics, there's figures over there doing some dance, there's somebody sitting in a chair and something's about to happen. I had dreadful fear of missing out, I must say. But I guess that you could go two or three times and you'd see it in a totally different way.
Yeah, you could do. I think the that's one of the things, it's different every time we do it. So we premiered the work last year in London at Tower Hamlets in Mile End, and that cemetery is quite a bit larger and quite a bit more enclosed, and so actually the audience lost each other. There were three different audiences and they didn't see each other until the end of the show. Whereas in Brighton, it's much more open. And so what it creates is these amazing long vistas, I guess. Mm. And so you see something in the distance, which is really special to this version of Depart.
Well, I'm wondering there on the sort of missing out, because I know when I do promenades and the audience are also obviously worried about, am I missing a key moment? Now, is it somewhere just relax and go with where you are?
Absolutely. Yeah, just relax. I mean, we're guiding the experience, and so you always that we've planned it so that wherever you are in the audience, something will be close to you, and so you will have a different experience to the people on the other side. But it all kind of balances out, and we've made sure that there is minimal missing out going on.
And you mentioned that closeness. That was one of the things I was going to ask you about, because there are points where the performers, like, as the dead walking amongst you, do walk right up with you. And there was a point at which I heard some very heavy breathing and looked around, and there was someone just heavy breathing behind me. And there was another point where I was just standing watching something, and all of a sudden I felt a hand gripping my shoulder. Now, thankfully, I'm not of a nervous disposition, so it didn't make me jump. Yeah. But I would imagine that something like that happening, well, is actually it's quite surprising.
We maybe need to check, was that part of the performance, or was that one of the audience that was stalking Melita?
It's just a special experience. It is part of the part of the performance. Yeah, and the it's quite a magical part, I think, too. And the performers are really enjoying that opportunity to, you know, it's such a different experience to a proscenium arch production, sure, where you just kind of sit and you separate. And but in this experience, the performers are right in and right amongst you, and they're just starting to explore what they can do. So maybe lucky you came last night. I don't know what's going to happen tonight.
And it was something that people commented on as well, because I heard people at the end saying, I didn't think we'd be so close to the performers. Now, having seen Circa's work before, I am aware that you are there, and, you know, you hear every kind of grunt and like, and the push as they're hoiking people up into these amazing acrobatics. So that is very much, you are so physically close to them. You're just getting that whole feeling of the performance itself, not just seeing it from a stage.
Yeah, I guess that's all about the immersiveness of the performance itself, and then also the nature of circus. Like, it's so real. You can't... my background is actually in dance, and so coming to circus, I thought one of the really interesting things is you can't... you can't deny it. It's dangerous. It's happening in front of you. It could go wrong, and yes, sometimes it does. And so there's a real proximity and a real authenticity in circus, and especially in circus work, which I just adore and pretty pleased to be part of.
I wanted to ask about the location, because obviously having a performance and people walking through a cemetery is, I imagine, slightly controversial. I was sort of certainly surprised and thought, wow, that's a bold move, that's interesting. Have you had any adverse responses from people for that?
Yeah, we have. In Hull in particular, we had a little bit of a protest when the show first went online. But it died down very quickly, and that was potentially a poor choice of words. But people realised quite rapidly that what we're doing is something that's beautiful and respectful and elegant. And what it does, it actually brings more awareness to a very beautiful space, which is not necessarily used. I mean, it's a place for meditation and reflection and sometimes dog walking. And I mean, they're just gorgeous places. And I think there's something about the presence of death in life that is, for me anyway, pretty, what's the right word? It's real. It's real. And it's
And there was something leading on from that struck me last night as I was walking around about how the cemetery itself, because it's a big old Victorian Gothic cemetery, it's a performance in itself, because it's a performance of wealth, ostentatious wealth. You know, if you were a rich Victorian, you could afford to have weeping angels all over your tomb. And the richer you were, of course, the bigger your tomb would be, and the more weeping women you had all over it. So I thought that idea that the cemetery itself is a kind of star of the piece as well was very important to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that kind of, there's two things that makes me think of. One is what we put in there in terms of performance is sensitive. As you say, it's already loaded when we arrive on site with dancers, for example, or the acrobats. And there's not much they need to do to kind of activate that site. But then when they're, you know, the sky is above them and the trees are around them, and there's a vastness that they don't get to play with in the theatre in the same way.
Now, it's based around Greek mythology and Orpheus in the underworld, and there is an exhortation at the start, don't look back. But I thought you didn't actually have to know anything about Greek mythology at all to enjoy it.
No, I think it's just a kind of a level that's available, mm-hmm, if you are interested, and if narrative is something that strikes you. There is a sense of the Orpheus and Eurydice story, and so which is the story of he loses her, he begs to go down to the underworld and bring her back, and they say sure, but you can't look back on your way out, and then he does right at the end and loses her forever. So he kind of loses her twice. So there's those universal themes running through the work of loss and love and life and death, and and it's there, I guess, if you want it and you're looking for it, but it's gentle. Yeah.
And we heard a little montage there of the sounds that I recorded last night. I thought the sound design was superb. And the choral singers were stunning. So there is an array of choral singers. I don't know how many there were. There seemed to be about 30 or 40 veiled. UKIP wouldn't like that, would they? Carrying lanterns. And then there were times when they doused their lanterns and you just heard these ghostly, ethereal voices and then electronic sounds and various other sounds coming through. I thought, you know, the amount of work and consideration that have been put into that sound design was astonishing.
Do you know, Melita liked this show. Now,
yeah.
My question has got to be, because it's a sellout across the weekend, Brighton people love Circa's work. You know, when are you going to come back and give everyone else a chance to see the stuff?
Gosh, I'm not sure. Hopefully soon. I'm not sure about our next event, but we love it here.
Well, you can come round to mine at the weekend and do another performance because, you know, great.
We like to perform wherever we can. And I think particularly the musical part of it, the project is a collaboration with Spitalfields Music in London and also the National Centre for Circus Arts and obviously London International Festival of Theatre. And Spitalfields have connected us with the choirs in the areas, and I believe most of our choral members come from Hullabaloo.
Oh, yeah.
Here in Brighton.
Mm-hmm.
And there's about 100 of them actually. They sound absolutely gorgeous. The sound, their music has been composed by Sam Glaser, and then the electronic music is by Lapalux. So there's an amazing meld of sound, as you say. And then what struck me in your sound before is just the sound of footsteps.
Yeah.
It is, you know, there's 250 people in the audience and then there's about 150 performers, but it's so quiet.
You wouldn't know it from that. You really wouldn't know there
were
that many people around.
And no mobile phones. Turn off your mobile phone.
Oh,
hurrah, yeah. But two performances a day as well, which A, you must take it out of the performers, and B, I was wondering how different they were when you've got one at kind of twilight, kind of 8:30, and then obviously the late night one, which is the one that I went to.
Really different. They're really different. I mean, the early one is beautiful because the sun is setting and you really get that kind of glow at the beginning, and then it kind of, you feel that transition into the nighttime. The nighttime one is very dark.
That's good for Melita. Melita likes very
dark.
That's her fang.
Really dark, and the stars are just gorgeous. But it's a very different experience in those two shows. I mean, I think both of them are haunted in a similar way. But I guess, you know, the earlier show, there's more a sense of you can see much further beyond what's happening. So you get again that kind of sense of perspective and vista in the distance and. Yeah.
And I have to say, you've been very lucky with our British weather. What happens if it rains?
Well, last week in Hull, we had rain every show.
Uh-huh.
And we had... but again, that's kind of an atmosphere. It really created a very special atmosphere. And the site there is very different. It's much more enclosed. And we were ankle deep in mud for the week, which was gorgeous.
Marvellous. Well, I'm quite glad that I am going this evening and I won't be ankle deep in mud, although I can imagine it would make it very interesting. I wanted just sort of moving away from your show in itself and putting it in the context of the festival. How do you feel about festivals where they have, you know, what's the purpose, what's the benefit to a community of having all these events out and about?
I mean, it's incredible, and I haven't been to Brighton Festival before, but it does feel like I love the flooding of the location with art and performance. I mean, just here rocking up today, there was a performance just outside, and I love that people at festival time can just encounter something during their day. They don't have to make a special effort to go somewhere. They kind of just happen upon it, and they also can make a special effort to go somewhere. But I think that that it's a lot about surprise, and that's again what I think is so gorgeous about a lot of the work that we do at Circa. It surprises people. We put it in different locations, we upset what people expect from circus, and so I think that element of surprise and delight.
I can say you have very successfully achieved that. So Circa with Depart today through to Sunday, performances at 8:30 and 10:15. How are the tickets looking?
I believe that we're sold out, but I wonder if people arrived, they might wait around on and see if there are tickets that haven't been collected.
It's worth it. It's definitely worth it. So thank you very much, Alice Lee Holland, for joining us from Circa. Welcome back to Brighton, and congratulations on finishing the Brighton Festival up in such an absolutely magnificent and splendid way. And we hope to see you back in Brighton again.
Yes, please, come back.
Thank you so much.
Come back. Cheers, cheers.
Brighton Festival 2017. Radio Reverb, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival hour.